Right, good morning, family. Good morning. So today we have a very special treat. In John chapter 21, this is after Jesus resurrects, and he meets with Peter, and he tells him three things. He says to feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep. And when I hear that, it helps me, it puts my mind frame in the idea and understanding the roles of elders and how God has given them a special calling to lead the church, to shepherd the church, to feed the sheep, to feed the lamb. And so this morning, we have a special, special guest, actually family here. We have Chuck Royal, who's one of the elders of the New York Church that will be bringing the word this morning. And so his wife, Denise, is also here with us. I know some of you have connections with them from years in the back, but I just wanted to say, again, when we look at the role of eldership, it is not one that's taken lightly. It's not something you just walk into and just volunteer for. Like, God has called you to a certain place to be able to be responsible for so many. And so when we have our elders amongst us, although we already have, you know, we have Kevin, who is extremely fortunate that we have him here, but to be able to see and listen from our elders is something we want to take to heart. And so with that, I give you Chuck Royal.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you guys. I want to thank Kinson and Shyla and Kevin and Andy. We're together in the battle, in the ministry there. I'm not full-time in the ministry, like Kevin and Andy, but Kevin and Andy are kind of full-time in the ministry by their own will because they're retired, right? But it's great to be able to meet with you guys. It's great to just hear all the things about Westchester from Kevin and Andy, the great things that's happening here and the great people that you are. So it's a privilege to be able to stand before you this morning, to be able to share some things that God has put in my heart. And I pray that will inspire and impact you the way it has impacted me. Kinza said, my wife Denise and I are from Jersey. We've been married 33 years next month, and it's been a journey, and it's been a joy on that marriage. And our daughters, Amanda is 39. She's married, so we have two kids, grandkids. One just started college, is a freshman, and the other is in middle school in eighth grade. So we're grateful for them. And then we have Kennedy also. Kennedy is in Brooklyn ministry right now in the Young Pros. She's getting her master's at Pratt University in Brooklyn. We're super grateful for her as well. A lot of you guys may know her, bringing up her coming up through Kingdom Kids, through the camps and everything. So really grateful for my family. And going back, just seeing, some of the teen ministry folks that we rubbed elbows with back in the day, Sean and Marsha, Derek and Lynn from college, man, when I became a Christian back in 86, wow. It's great to see you guys, and it's great the connection that we have, and so grateful for you. And just with Sam, Sam was leading the church in Tallahassee where I became a disciple, and I call them my spiritual parents. Because they would let me use their car. I burned out their clutch, learning how to drive a stick in Tallahassee on them hills. And they would feed me, college student, and, not having that many meals to eat, them ramen noodles. They would give me a nice fed meal on Sundays. So I appreciate them so much. And I know that you guys appreciate them very much as well here in Westchester. So this morning, I want to share about how we're broken. Right? We're broken, and let me get this clicker going here. Yeah, here we go. We're broken, but we're not basada. Did I say that right? Beseda? Basada. Basuda. We're not basuda, right? And what that is we're not trash. We're not trash. We are broken though, right? And I mean not in the sense that you're gonna be broken down like your will, but I'm talking broken people. Like we have things we're all working on, right? None of us are perfect. And as my stepfather used to say, not on this side of the dirt. None of us are perfect on this side of the dirt. We're always gonna have things to work on until we get on the other side, right? We're all broken. So here, I just wanna share some things about this. And I think about how a home, a car, pottery, those things get broken, right? But what value do we put in these things? What value do we put in these things? Then thinking about it spiritually, like what do we put our value in spiritually? You know, things that we throw away or that I throw away sometimes for garbage in our neighborhood, people come through and pick up. You guys seen that before, but many people. Sometimes I've done that in the past, you know? So one man's trash is one man's treasure, right? And I think about Sanford and Son. Some of you new generations may not know what I'm talking about, but you can look it up, check it out. It's a funny sitcom about a father and a son that has a junkyard. And they live pretty much, their house is a junkyard, and they have a junkyard, but you know, they're living in what you would call trash, right? But they're selling their trash because to them it is valuable, it's treasures, right? And I just think about that because a lot of times, like how our perspective is on things may be different on how someone else may look at it and their perspective. You know, trash is thrown out or is recycled, but something that's not trashed, it can be repaired, right? So what I want to talk about this morning here, if you could turn to Lamentations 1:20. I just want to read this passage here. It says, Lord, see my anguish. My heart is broken and my soul despairs. For I have rebelled against you in the streets. The swords kill, and at home there is only death. How should I respond when I realize that I'm broken? When I'm falling short of what it is that God calls me to, or what it is that I really need to be more in touch with. And I finally realize, wow, that's what's going on. That's what's happening. That is what I need to get focused on so that I can bring God into that. We have to turn to God. We have to turn to God to help when we realize our brokenness. You know, circumstances may be driving you to God, but don't neglect your role in the sin that plays in your life. You know, God is the only one who can truly restore what has been broken. And I want to ask us this morning, what is the condition of our brokenness? What is the condition of our brokenness? Are we in need of repair? Are we in need of being restored? Or are we in need of being replaced? So it's something to think about, because these three things I just want to focus on this morning, because a lot of times I think back and reflect, like, where am I at? What is it that I need? Do I need to be repaired? Do I need to be restored? Or do I need to be replaced in this particular area? So let's talk about repair. So repair, if you think about something that's repaired, is gonna be fixed, right? So for me, at home, being a homeowner, you try to figure out how to fix things because you don't want to keep paying all this money for people and contractors to come and do the job, and they charge you like $500 or $1,000, and then the part was like $20. So I'm like, what in the world? Man, I could have saved $900. So, you know, just having that experience, I've learned to repair certain things. And with the think of God being my co-pilot, YouTube, and a few good men, you know, I tackle some of these challenges that need to be repaired. So I remember repairing our furnace had went out in the winter. And so I YouTube and Googled what's going on here, troubleshooting, okay? And Denise is like, babe, don't blow up the house. So I'm like, I'm gonna see. If it's something simple, I'm gonna tackle it. If it's not, I ain't touching it. So it wound up being something called the thermostat. I think thermostat or something to do with the temperature therm. So it's like this really cheap piece that was $10 at Home Depot. But the key was the labor, because you had to take the furnace apart to get to this part. You had to turn it off. Then you had to relight the pilot light, make sure it lit up. So I'm like, okay, bring God into this, and I bring in a few men into this. I'm getting some counsel, calling up people. And so by the grace of God, I fixed it, and it worked, and I didn't blow up. So, and I didn't blow up the house, so amen. And then it was also, you know, our stove. Something, a similar thing happened with our stove related to gas, and Googled it, prayed, got a few men involved, and God helped me fix that. So different projects that may come, you guys can relate to this. Certain things we can repair, certain things we just need to leave alone, right? So, but thinking about this spiritually, I think about Joseph. You know, Joseph, his life was a challenging life. You know, what happened to him, you know, his brothers sold him as a slave. He was in prison. You know, he was accused of, you know, of rape. All these different challenges and experiences, traumas, and experience that he had in his life journey. A lot of stuff was broken, right? But what happened, God continued to help repair him in that process. Each stage that he went through, God repaired him, God refreshed him, God helped him to be able to rise up and be who it is that he could be, right? And then he got put down again, but then God repaired and refreshed him, helped him to rise up again. You know, and I think about just how, you know, how he did this, how he journeyed through this trauma, how he journeyed through this brokenness, you know, and I can't help to think about 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. In verse 13, it says, define, and this is the NLT version, says, define real love and show how love works. Love is more important than all spiritual gifts. You see that love is patient and is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It's not easily angered and demands its own way. You know, and we think about love, and, you know, the Bible talked about how faith, hope, and love is like the foundation of our Christianity, things that we need to really help us to be able to keep moving forward. You know, and that, I totally believe, is what helped Joseph continue to move forward, his faith. His faith is what God helped to keep refreshing and repairing so that he can continue his journey until he got to where God was taking him. You know, and I think about, for me, I can totally relate to Joseph. You know, my journey, was working at Bed Bath & Beyond for 25 years. I was hoping to retire with that company. And you guys know, like 2 years ago, they went bankrupt. And so I lost my job. And so I'm looking for work and totally believe that, you know, God is going to provide. And, you know, after a year, I didn't find anything, so I was on unemployment. This past year, in the beginning of the year, I had a job, and I was there for 2 months. And it didn't work out for them or for me, so I got let go. So I started unemployment again. So last year, one of the things I wanted to do, really, while I was on unemployment, was to go to school. And God said no to that last year. It didn't work out. And I felt like Joseph going through this trial of just frustration, doors being closed, my counselor not communicating, me doing more legwork, and then just it not working out. Really frustrating. And so I'm like, man, God, what are you doing? You know, I want to go to school. I want to finish school. And, you know, this year, after getting on unemployment again, I said, no, let me try another county in New Jersey. So I went to another county that was in Jersey, and everything got approved in like 2 weeks, everything. So I'm like, wow, look at God. And I was praying like, man, what was going on here? What's God, why did you say no last year and say yes this year? And just praying and thinking about it, I look back and I'm like, wow, you know what? Coming into the eldership and everything that was happening in the church, the transitions and the different things we were really trying to grab hold of and manage, is no way I would have been able to go to school last year with everything that was happening. So God said, no, you need to focus on this. You need to shepherd the church. We're in a better place now. Now you can go to school. I'm gonna work it out. That's what I saw. And it's like, wow, amen. But you know what? I had to fight through the discouragement and really fight to hold on to my faith, talk to Denise about my frustrations, praying, you know, and really, faith is something we have to fight for, you know, in our journey. You know, we can help each other, we can love each other, we can give each other hope, but faith is something we all have to fight for and get ourselves. We can't borrow faith from somebody else, but we have to fight for our faith. So I encourage us this morning, let's fight for our faith, and let's let God repair us in those areas where we're broken. Second point is to be restored. You know, when you're restored, you're refreshed, you're refined to the original state of whatever it is. And I remember a couple years ago, working with Kennedy, our daughter. She had this dresser that she really liked, a friend gave her, and she wanted to restore this dresser. So I said, babe, what's the plan? Like, how are you gonna do this? She's like, well, I was gonna ask you. So it's like, okay, amen. Some good daddy-daughter time bonding, working on this project. So this dresser, we had to script it down to the bare minimum, right? And it is amazing as you script it, seeing like the original grain, you know, it's like, wow, this is pretty amazing, you know? And then after that, we had to paint it, then we had to stain it, and then we had to wait, you know? And it was restored, but it took a process, you know, it took time, right? So just thinking about being restored, you know, it is a process to get it back to the original state, and it takes time, right? And, you know, just spiritually thinking about being restored, I think about Elijah, you know, and Elijah, you know, his story is amazing. You know, he had victory after defeating Baal, right? Incredible victory. He's excited. He's pumped up, but then he finds out that Queen Jezebel wants to kill him, right? So what happens to Elijah? And you guys can read this in later in the Bible, but I'm just gonna, for the sake of time, refer to some of these stories. But he went under a tree and slept. And he cried out, "Lord, take my life." You know, Elijah, he was going through depression and maybe suicidal. But he was in a low moment under a tree, just wanting to sleep and contemplating death or being his death, his life being taken. You know, it was amazing. You think about that. I'm not sure if you guys ever saw that, but, you know, his life was in need of being restored. You know, and just thinking and reading through this, seeing how God was so patient with him. God was loving him where he was, in his despair, in his discouragement. He didn't shame him. He loved him. He sent the animals and angels food to him to feed him. And he let him sleep. He restored him. He let him get revived. And then he called them to his next mission. You know, being restored, like I said, is a process. It's challenging. It takes time. But we have to imitate our Lord and how it is that we treat ourselves and how we treat others. We need to be loving. We need to be patient. We need to be kind. And we need to be hopeful. All right? So, you know, just thinking about this, I want to share a story that is really related to being restored that has impacted me time after time. And you guys may have heard this before, but it's called The Story of the Silversmith. And it says that, this is referring to Malachi 3:3. There's a Bible study group. One of the members offered to learn about the process of refining silver to inform them, to inform the group of the study, of their study and research. He visited a silversmith and watched him at work. He watched the silversmith hold a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. The silversmith explained that in refining silver, you must hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flame is the hottest to burn away all the impurities. The members then thought about God holding us where the flames are the hottest to burn away our impurities. Then he thought again about the verse, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire and watch the process at all times. The silversmith answered that not only did I have to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time to make sure to test the fire. If the silver was left moments too long in the flame, it would be destroyed. You must leave it long enough to serve the purpose, but not too long, as it would destroy it. The members were silent for a moment, then asked the silversmith, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" He smiled and answered, "Oh, that's easy. When I see my image in it, that's when I know it's ready." And, you know, this is incredible. This is what I always think about. This is like really just resonates with me, because God is trying to refine us into his image. But that's painful. And it's a process, and it takes time. You know, we have to trust God in this process. You know, I think a lot of times we can want to rush God or want things in our timing when God is working in his timing. So just really praying that, man, you know what, God, help me to see, help me to understand, what is it you're doing? What are you trying to transform in me? What are you trying to teach me to understand? You know, Matthew 8, share something here real quick. In Matthew 8, verse 24, Verse 24 to 26, it says, "Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, 'Lord, save us. We're gonna drown. You know, in this passage, I think about Jesus woke up, calmed the storm, and restored order, right? And we got to think about in our life, what storms are we going through? Are we inviting Jesus in to help us calm those storms? Are we trying to calm them on our own? Jesus can do it. He wants to do it. We just have to invite him in. We have to invite him into our storm. We have to invite him into our trouble. He wants to help us. He does. And I think about the father that had the demon-possessed son. He wanted his son healed, and the disciples couldn't do it. Jesus came and asked them, you know, "Hey, do you believe?" And the father said, "Yes, I do believe, but help me to overcome my unbelief." I've been there. Sometimes we have to pray that prayer. We got to be honest with God where we're at. You know what, God? I believe that you could do this, but I have some doubt. Help me to overcome my unbelief. Help me to get my heart where it needs to be so I can be aligned with you and you can do your thing. You know, sometimes we just got to be honest. I've been there. 1 Thessalonians, read this past, 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 23 and 24, it says, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the day our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." God will make this happen, for he who called you is faithful. God is faithful. God wants to bring us peace. He wants to bring us healing, but we have to be willing to let him win. We have to just allow him to refine us, sanctify us, make us holy, right? We have to allow him in to be able to do that. And James 5, and I'm all over the place here, guys. If you can't keep up, you can just write it down. But James 5, verse 17, says, "Elijah was a man, human as we are. Yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the skies sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops." So it says Elijah, who we just read about, is a man just like us. How is he a man just like us? Because he went through depression. He had anxiety. He felt like taking his life. Felt like, "I don't know if I should be here," you know? He's a man just like us. But look at how God used him. God can use us the same way, guys, because he's just like us. He's a man, human, just like us. And God answered his prayers. So I want to encourage us to allow God to restore us so that we can become in his image. And then my final point here is to replace. So when we replace something, we rebuild it or we just get something new, right? The key, I think, in replacing something is recognizing and seeing what the need is, right? If it's in need of replaced. So like I shared before, earlier, I was able to replace and repair the furnace. I repaired it, right? The piece of furniture, we restored it. So situation at home now, I can do the job, but I'm gonna have to replace it. Again, God's involved, YouTube, Google, and a few good men, right? But our toilet in the basement has a crack in it. That's not gonna be repaired. That's not gonna be restored. That gotta be replaced, right? So we're gonna replace that. And, you know, in our lives, there's different things that have to be replaced. You know, sometimes soiled food that's in the refrigerator, you ain't gonna try to repair that or restore that, right? You're gonna replace that, right? Well, some of us may, I don't know. Maybe back in my single days, I would have tried to repair it or do something with it. But I think, you know, for our own good, we're not gonna try to do anything with that, but just throw it out, trash. And then sometimes, you know, Denise was in a car accident last year, and her car pretty much got totaled. This brand new car, like 2 months old, sitting at a traffic light, and someone ran right in the back of her, pretty much totaled the car. She's fine. But what's crazy, they didn't replace the car. They repaired it. I'm like, really? You're gonna repair it? It's like, okay. So I think it was like $20,000 that they spent. The insurance did, not us. You know, that would have been totaled, you know, because it is just too much money coming out to try to, and too much work. But a lot of times when we have a car and it's totaled, we don't try to repair it, we replace it, right? So, you know, thinking about this in a spiritual sense, I think about David. David, an incredible man of God, but he fell into sin. He fell. He's a human, just like us too. He fell into adultery. He fell into sin of murder. It's like, wow. But when you look at David and how God sees him, and you see him recognizing his brokenness and his recognizes his sin and he's broken and he goes before God, God sees him as a man that's after his own heart, after his brokenness, after him recognizing his shortcoming and really allowing God in to bring healing. God saw him as a man that was after God's own heart. You know, in Psalm 51, verse 10. It says, create in me a pure and a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal and steadfast spirit within me. Then in verse 17, it says, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. You know, David saw this. He saw his need, and he was willing and wanting to have his heart replaced. And God did replace his heart. He gave him a new heart, a new beginning, a new start. And the same is true for us, you know. And I think about just, you know, in my life, I can relate to this, you know, just with... how can I say this? When George Floyd was killed, it impacted my life so much. It really devastated me. So much so that I felt like I gotta do something. I need to do something to really help my community to understand and be in touch with what trauma is, what racial trauma is. And so in doing that, God opened the door for me to be able to go and to be trained in narrative trauma storytelling. And so I learned a lot, and it was awesome. But one of the things that really impacted me was that I'm going to want to learn to bring and to help the community, but I saw that, you know what? I have to deal with me first. There was so much stuff that came out that I wasn't dealing with in my life that I had to address before I can go and help somebody else. You know, the Bible talks about that. You got to take the plank out of your eye first, right? Before you go and take it out of somebody else's. So God really helped me to see, like, man, you know what? You need to deal with your issues. You need to deal with your pain. And for the past and so long, I was just numbing myself to the pain. So much so that it's like, oh yeah, that's gonna happen. Yeah, I'm gonna drive, I'll tell Denise, and sometimes we'd be in the car and coming home from my parents or coming home from a baptism even. It's like, yeah, that cop, he's gonna pull us over once we get down the road. And sure enough, it happened. Many times. But that was my attitude. It's like, yeah, he's gonna pull us over in a little while. So, but I had become numb to that pain. I wasn't in touch with it. And really going through this training really helped me identify my pain, helped me be in touch with my pain, talk about my pain, and really to bring healing to that pain, you know? And I just wanna encourage us, you know, just, you know, don't be afraid to step in. Sometimes we gotta step into things that's a little scary. We're not sure what's gonna happen. Like the fear of the unknown, the fear of the uncertainty, like not having control, right? But again, we have to fight for our faith so that we can step into certain things to really allow God to bring healing to places that is pretty deep. Some places is deep. And it could be frustrating trying to change it on our own because, you know, we think we can or we feel like we need to control it. And it's just, that's frustrating. That's another word, what they call it, insanity. You try to keep doing something and keep getting the same results, right? So we need to invite God into those areas that keep coming up, that keep happening, that keep surfacing. God wants to bring healing to those areas. And, you know, he brought healing to me in this area, and I'm super grateful for that. You can turn to Philippians 4, Philippians 4:4. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and guard your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. I'm gonna stop there. You know, like I said, God wants to bring us peace. God wants to transform us. He wants to replace us, replace things in areas. He wants to replace those places that are broken and that we feel like, man, you know, I don't know if I can change this. God wants to replace it the same way he replaced David's heart. He gave him a new heart. You know, holistic healing is something I always think about, you know, just how, you know, just really across the spectrum, God wants to bring healing to our heart, to our mind, to our body, to our soul. He wants to make us complete. He wants us to not be lacking anything. And, you know, it's just amazing. I think about Psalms 23, you know, just how, you know, it says, you know, that God was with them in the valley. You know, the valley is dangerous. There's a lot going on in valleys, right? But in Psalms 23, it says that God was with them in the valley, you know, and God is with us in our valleys. God is with us, not only on the mountaintops, but in the valleys. And we have to invite him into those strongholds, the strongholds that's in our heart, the strongholds of things that are trying to oppose us from taking that peace and really allowing God to help us to grab hold of that peace. So the finished product here, this is the finished product of brokenness. And this is called, pronounce it right, Kintsugi. And this is broken pottery that is repaired with 24 karat gold. So you can see the 24 karat gold within the pottery. And that was prepared by an artist. You know, and this can be very expensive. This can be very costly. But it's something that is amazing, you know, just to think about. And then here, this is another broken glass art. And you can see how all different pieces of broken glass is made together to make something incredible, beautiful. And there's a broken art museum in Philadelphia, if you guys ever want to go check it out. And I'm sure New York has one. I think the Kintsugi is in New York. But it's amazing to think about the brokenness, the broken glass, and how beautiful it comes out to be something that's amazing. You know, just think about how, you know, again, we are broken. And so we're not valuable, but the Creator brings value. He uses us to bring value, you know? So the glass is not trash, but is used, right? It's used and it's something that's incredible that's done with it, you know? And the same thing God wants to do with us. You know, Ephesians 2 verse 8, from 8 to 10, we're going to read here. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you've done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can do the good things he's planned for us long ago. When someone gives you a gift, you do not say, that's very nice now. How much do I owe you? No, the appropriate response to the gift is thank you. Yet how often Christians, even after they've been given the gift of salvation, feel obligated to try to pay for this gift. You know, it's amazing to think about how we're God's treasures. Like, we're God's treasures, and God wants to use each and every one of us to make something beautiful. You know, we have to do our part and really allow God to do and allow him to do his part. God has a plan for us. God has a purpose for us. God has a vision for us. And let's align with the Spirit of God. Let's make sure we're in tune with God and how it is he's working in our lives. And to him will be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen, guys.